My guest is Tasha Drew. She's the Director of Engineering for the AI team in the VCF division at Broadcom. Now, she's been on the main stage, she's been part of the live demos, and she's been helping to define what an AI native private cloud platform should actually look like. From intelligent assist for VMware Cloud Foundation to the bigger picture of private AI as a service. She's been leading the conversations here this week that are helping to shape how enterprises are approaching privacy, cost, and innovation. So, what does private AI actually mean in practice? Why does it matter now? And how can enterprises take their first steps towards adoption? These are just a few of the things that we're going to be unpacking today. And as you listen, I'd love for you to reflect on how private AI might play out in your own work, in your own industry. And also, what opportunities that you see, what challenges feel closest to home right now. Share your thoughts with me after the episode, because I do want to hear your perspective. But before I get today's guest on, I want to give a quick shout out to Careerist, who are the sponsor of Tech Talks Network this month and all 8 shows that we have here. And it's a message that I'm passionate about. So if you've been thinking, I want to work in tech, but I don't know how to code, then this is for you, because Careerist has built up one of the most accessible paths into tech. Their software QA engineering bootcamp is a great example, because in just 4 months, you'll get live training from experts at Google and Meta, not to mention hands-on practice and even a real remote internship to put on your resume. Plus, you'll work one-on-one with a career coach who will make sure that you're job ready. And here's the best part. QA is in huge demand right now. There are 37,000 plus open roles in the US alone, and average starting salaries go up to over $105,000. Now, Careerist graduates are already working at companies all across the country, and if you don't land a job within a year, you even get your money back. That's how confident they are. But seats for the next cohort close very soon. So please check the link in the episode description and see if Careerist is your launchpad into a tech career. But now it's time for me to beam your ears to the show floor here, so you can join me in conversation with Tasha. So we're talking here at VMware Explore in Vegas today. Can you tell everyone listening a little about who you are, what you do, and what you're talking about at VMware Explore? Because you've already been on stage, haven't you?
Yeah, thank you. So I'm Tasha Drew, and I am the Director of Engineering for the AI team in the VCF division here at Broadcom. And this week, I have been talking a lot about private AI, the private AI services that we made the big announcement are going to be included with VCF going forward. And I've also been talking about the intelligent assist for VMware Cloud Foundation that we debuted in Chris Wolf's demo on main stage yesterday.
And private AI is such a huge talking point right now. And of course, we're approaching the third anniversary since the launch of ChatGPT. But now conversations on the show floor here from some of the conversations I've been having are increasingly about the importance of private AI. So can I ask you just to set the scene on why it's such an important conversation and ultimately what private AI means to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we first debuted private AI as really a market segment, we had 3 pillars of privacy that we were talking about. We were talking about keep your IP private to you. There may be IP that's so sensitive you can't expose it to public models and public workflows and potentially leak that IP in different ways. There's private data. So you might have data that's so sensitive or really part of a compliance regime or regulatory impact and that you just need to really have strict management over. We also see sites where there's so many edge sites generating so much data that the cost implications of moving that data into a public cloud is just not price performant or doesn't make any sense from a financial perspective, but people still want to benefit from AI there. And then finally, we have private models. So once a model has been trained or fine-tuned on sensitive data, it is now as sensitive as the data that it's been exposed to. And so you need to have strong role-based access control around that model and ensure that the people who have access to it are the same people who would have had access to the original data.
And I also think, I think every business leader understands the need for private AI, but I think one of the stumbling blocks is, where do we go from here? So what are your customers looking for from private AI as a service that can be delivered to their users in the enterprise? It's knowing where to start that is the stumbling block, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we see is that a lot of initial sandboxing and experimentation happens in the public cloud. And that's for a couple different reasons. One, procurement of a GPU is very fast in the public cloud, and it can take a long time to procure GPUs on-prem. So it's just ease of access to the initial infrastructure. And then the services that are available on the public cloud make experimentation very, very easy and straightforward. Then as people start to sort of solidify what their business case is around generative AI and AI, they may start to see real implications for cost or for privacy, or they may see places where they could deploy that service that they've started to develop on the public cloud in a private, more private manner. So whether that's just, I want it to be proximate to my data, or I have very private data that I can't move to the public cloud, or I'm starting to see the cost implications of running this workload. And now that I understand the parameters of it, I can do infrastructure modeling and kind of understand what procurement would look like and run it more in a more cost efficient manner in my private cloud. So we see a bunch of drivers once people get kind of past that sandbox and experimentation and into production, and then after and then post production, that ends up driving them to a private AI solution.
And from VMware's perspective, can you tell me a little bit more about how private AI services, about your private AI services, and also your journey of making an AI native private cloud platform? There's got to be a story there too, right?
Yeah, lots of stories. So, you know, we were running an AI team prior to the acquisition of VMware. And then we moved that group into the VCF division after everyone got reorganized. And we needed to take a hard look at what platform does VMware really need to deliver to satisfy the requirements of the private cloud. So we had a number of initial features we were doing around deep learning virtual machines, on-demand Jupyter notebooks, automating the deployment of the lower level infrastructure resources, my Kubernetes cluster on demand with vGPU and all the drivers installed like as a service. But then what was that one step higher in the AI platform space that we really needed to deliver to customers so that our IT teams, our VI admins, could start to deliver AI platform as a service to their users and make sure that they're able to deliver that as computationally efficiently as possible, sort of the core VCF value prop of, there's like this truism in product management of VMware makes money when we save our customers money. And so as AI workloads grow, how can we make that very efficient so that when you see our solution, you understand how we're saving you time and money? So as we kind of went down that adventure, we were looking at just the landscape of how do we get customers from zero to deployed RAG app, retrieval augmented generation application, as easily and smoothly as possible. What capabilities do we need to have? How can we have open APIs and easy integration so that if you have been running a workload in a different cloud, it's very easy for you to try running it on your private cloud? So kind of just looking at the entire landscape of zero to deployed RAG app and understanding what tools and capabilities should we have there to make that story easy.
And here at VMware Explore, everybody knows all about VMware, all the tools. They've got a passionate community here. But we will have people listening from all around the world. Some are techies, some are not techies. So could you introduce everyone listening to VCF Intelligent Assist? What is it and what problems are you solving for customers?
Yes, I've been coached by branding. It's Intelligent Assist by VMware Cloud Foundation.
Oh, okay.
On first use. But yeah, I was getting a lot of coaching for the main stage presentation, so I have to say it. But yeah, so when we look at our private cloud offering, VCF is really intended to be everything you need for a private cloud in a box, well integrated, easy to stand up, easy to deploy, from networking to storage to compute to AI workloads to data services management. Just what do you expect in a private cloud? How can we make it easy for you to deliver developer applications and services? How can we make the VCF operations story really plug and play? So just, I kind of think of it, you know, synopsized as private cloud in a box.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's signed off by Brading, but the intelligent assist is looking at that private cloud and saying, how can we make it very easy for you to use our private cloud using generative AI, right? So we see kind of co-pilots and assistants across the ecosystem. We see things that they're doing well. We see things that could be improved. What should a VMware intelligent assist look like? And how can we make it part of the product? And so the journey we took with that is we already have these private AI capabilities. We can run models as a service. We have an ML API gateway. We can do data indexing and retrieval of documentation. We can build agents. Let's use those platform capabilities we already have to deliver our intelligent assist. And then that also makes it open. So if customers have their own private runbooks, right? Like a lot of our customers have written PDFs that have 70 to hundreds of pages of here's how we stand things up. Here's our port numbers. Here's our policies. You can add that to the intelligent assist. And then when you interact with it and you ask questions, we know where in the application you are. We can kind of tell what you're doing. We can surface the right documentation to you and give you nice step-by-step instructions. So that's kind of the first phase of capability for it that we showed on the main stage this week. And then going forward, we're starting to look at more and more agentic workflows. And a big part of that for us is going to be the model context protocol integrations that we're adding, again, to the private AI platform so our customers can use them, but also then using them within VCF to have MCP servers that can help you do more and more advanced workflows with the different components of VMware Cloud Foundation.
And the agentic side does feel incredibly exciting and a big topic this year. And you're obviously passionate about this side of things as well. So from your point of view, are there any other new innovations in private AI services that particularly excite you or you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah. I mean, I do think Model Context Protocol, MCP, is huge.
Yeah.
I love the way that I've been, I don't know if this is like as exciting to everyone else as it is to me. But when I look at the opportunity in generative AI, what I see is a real way to solve systems integration problems, right?
Yeah.
Like there was often no incentive, for example, for Salesforce to have a great workflow with ServiceNow, right?
Like, yeah.
Why would they invest in that? But now both of those companies can have a MCP server that says, here are some actions that your agent can take. And suddenly you can have a really nice end-to-end workflow between these systems that used to not have a great integration story. So I see that within our products. And I see that also in helping our customers start to build those workflows using the private AI services.
And I'm glad you mentioned integration there because it is such a big talking point. So tell me about some of the other integrations. I mean, some big ones, NVIDIA and AMD too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So NVIDIA has just been an amazing partner with us on our entire private AI journey. We've been doing co-development with them to make sure that private AI just runs really well and also that our customers can use the full benefit of the NVAIE software and be able to deploy and lifecycle manage it and make it available to their customers. And that's a win-win on both sides because data scientists have access to this incredibly powerful different NIMs and NeMo retriever and all kinds of tools and capabilities, but then on demand on the VCF platform. So really just kind of nice workflows and also lower level at the GPU level, make it easy to deploy and lifecycle manage the virtualization layer, make it easy to share, make it very efficient to run workloads. We've been partnering very closely on that. Now we're going to start expanding our capability with AMD. So we've announced the AMD partnership that we're very excited about. And so we're going to start expanding the private AI services to that set of processors, looking at the 300s coming up. And so, you know, really one of the things that Chris mentioned on main stage is that one of Broadcom's fundamental kind of the way that Broadcom really looks at this space is open ecosystem, right? Like how do we make it easy for people to adopt new standards, adopt different processors, use the right tool for the right job and have a really nice integration around all of that?
Incredibly cool. And I'm curious, when you speak with enterprises about adopting VMware Private AI, what are the main reasons why they're choosing it over, let's say, other approaches out there? And how do those reasons play out in maybe real-world use cases that might just bring it to life a little bit?
Yeah. So when I talk to enterprises, they sometimes really gravitate towards the privacy story, but sometimes they really gravitate towards more of a traditional cloud repatriation story, right? Like, it's just these workloads on cloud are very expensive. And we actually have some public cost calculators where we can show that private cloud has significant cost savings compared to any of the major public clouds and even neo clouds. No. So, you know, when folks kind of start, we've had customer conversations where they kind of run the price difference and they're like, from a fiduciary perspective, like, cannot not dig into this more, right? Like, yeah. Because it's just such a massive cost savings. So we have that going for us. We also have the platform capabilities. The IT teams are starting to try to figure out, how do we deliver models as a service? How do we make sure that we are not underutilizing our GPUs? Because if you don't have a consolidated platform approach to running workloads on GPUs, then you most likely have a bunch of teams who are running the same or extremely similar models in different silos, where you could kind of combine that compute and have the same amount of models running as a service for teams, but then also additional GPUs from the ones that you were underutilizing before that can serve more workloads.
And while I've been here, I've seen how busy you've been. I've seen you on stage. You got a podcast with me today. I think it was at a networking event last night. I saw you working the room there as well. So from all the conversations that you've had this week, all the keynotes, the sessions and everything you've seen and heard, are there any trends around what attendees are talking about and what people are excited about? Any trends there?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say it is just so validating to see how excited people are for the private AI services that we delivered in 9.0. Yeah. So the model runtime, the data indexing retrieval service, and agent builder. Obviously, a lot of the conversation is around model context protocol, MCP. One of the things I've been digging in with everybody on, and I'd love to hear if your listeners have any ideas, is what workflows do you think MCP will solve for you? Because I think, you know, with any new technology, everyone gets very excited. But if you could actually say, like, I just want it to do blah, like, blah, right? Like, if you take the technology away, what do you really want it to do? And starting to be able to really dig into that with customers and partners to get very crystal clear on what that looks like has been super valuable for me.
And a big thank you for starting this conversation today. And for anybody listening anywhere in the world, maybe they have got an idea for that workflows. How can they get in touch with you, your team, or just keep up to speed with all things private AI?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that the private AI team are big LinkedIn users.
Right.
Well, you know that that's not the most fashionable thing to say, but we're all there and we do see a lot of articles and different things floating by. I myself, obviously, I'm reading like the information and like getting kind of a lot of different tech news from different sources. But yeah, I think LinkedIn is probably the best.
Awesome. Well, I'll add links to the website, the LinkedIn page, and your LinkedIn page. Let people get in touch. And I would be interested as well, the kind of thing that they highlight to you. And I think very often you create a tech solution, but you're completely unaware of how people will use it. And that's the kind of exciting thing. But just thank you for stopping by today.
Yeah, absolutely. So happy to be here and thank you.
So that was Tasha Drew live with me here at VMware Explore in Las Vegas. And I think what stood out most is how private AI is no longer just a talking point. It's becoming a real strategy for enterprises. Enterprises that care about privacy, compliance, and cost. So we heard about Intelligent Assist for VCF, the partnerships with NVIDIA and AMD, and why we're seeing a shift from experimentation in public cloud to production in private environments, and how it's happening so much faster than many expected. But this is the point where you come in. What do you think? Do you see private AI as the next natural step for your organization? Or are you still weighing up whether the public cloud still makes sense? And if you could wave a magic wand, what would you want these systems to actually do for you? Send me a message on LinkedIn, just at Neil C. Hughes. Drop me a note, because your insights, your experiences, That's what really adds depth to these conversations. And that is why I fly all this way, to record these conversations too. So thanks again to Tasha for taking the time to come and speak with me during such a jam-packed week. An even bigger thank you to each and every one of you for tuning in. So until next time, stay curious. Let's keep this conversation going. And I'll speak with you all again very soon.